RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by a press review, Today in History, Focus, Headlines, Newspaper, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. President promises to settle human rights cases. Import rice from Pakistan and India to maintain the cost. Vice Chairman of NPR said, be alert of interventions in the border. Now the news in details. Indonesian President Joko Widodo promised in Jakarta on Friday that this year he would settle all cases connected to human rights violation that happened in Indonesia. The cases will be settled irrespectively as violation had a court. These cases will also include the one about rights violation in 1965 that has often led to heated debate. President Joko Widodo also said that the government faced a tough economic challenge, so the human rights violation cases would be settled this year. He said law enforcers, including personnel from the police, the Attorney General Office and the State Intelligence Agency BIN, would be assigned to settle these cases. He also said the economic challenges that Indonesia faces would continue and would depend on the global economic developments. Regarding the number of human rights cases to be settled, the president said this would be taken up one by one. Vice President Yusuf Kala explained that the government has given explanation about the import rice from Pakistan and India. As quoted by Antara News Agency, he said that the import rice is to keep stability of the rice price at markets. At the Vice President's office in Jakarta, Vice President Yusuf Kala said that if the price gets higher, the poverty will also rise. He also said the government must make sure the supply of rice so that the price is not getting high. The government also tried to attain self-supporting rice. Vice Chairman of the People's Consultative Assembly, MPR, Usman Sabta, asked all parties to be alert of the interfere of neighboring countries in the border area, including interventions of drug trafficking and drugs as well as hazardous materials. Visiting Sanggau region, West Kalimantan, Usman Sabta said that narcotics and drugs and hazardous materials have become the goods that are often smuggled across the border. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Usman Sabta said, The intervention of the other countries in the border have brought about various other aspects such as unemployment, ignorance and poverty. Moreover, Usman Sabta also pointed out that the border region must be built so that there is no imbalance in the border area of neighboring countries. Indonesia hopes its ease of doing business ranking would be in the double digits in 2016. This was stated by Head of Investment Coordinating Agency BKPM Frankie Sibarani at a press conference on investment projection in 2016 in Jakarta on Friday. The World Bank, in its report released in October 2015, had increased Indonesia's ranking to 109 from 120 out of 189 countries surveyed by the bank. Indonesia's position rose 11 ranks based on a survey conducted by the World Bank from June 2, 2014 to June 1, 2015 at two locations, namely Jakarta and Surabaya. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Frankie said that creating an alluring investment climate was indeed one of the steps for which the BKPM made efforts to achieve the investment targets of 594.8 trillion rupiah in 2016. He He said next week or by the end of this month, the agency will coordinate to improve its ease of doing business ranking, adding that the agency has 19 notes to be given to 18 ministries and 2 regional governments. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Transportation Ministry has assigned the management of 52 ships on pioneering routes to state-owned ship operator PT Pelayaran Nasional Indonesia, PELNI, to support the distribution of goods and people in the country's remote areas. The 52 ships playing pioneering routes are part of the 96 state-owned ship routes, an increase from 86 routes last year, which was previously entirely managed by the private sector through a tender process. As quoted by Jakarta Post, Director General of Transportation Ministry Sea Transportation, Bobby Reynold Mamahit, said that the government has given the rest to PELNI because these ships are owned by the government. The government tried to the best so there would be no gaps in the ship management. So the responsibilities would be legalized through a presidential regulation. The routes will be focused on the eastern part of Indonesia, where logistic costs are still higher than in the western part due to the lack of reliable and on-time transportation. Financial Supervisory Authority OJK encouraged Micro Financial Institute to be legal entity supervised legally, so the budget management of members and peoples are more responsible. Chairman of the Department of Supervision of Non-Bank Financial Industry of Financial Services Authority, M. Ihsanuddin, said, through given licensing relaxations, OJK wants solvability and liquidity of microfinancial institute, thus it is responsible while collecting and distributing people's budget. Ihsanuddin explained microfinancial institute rank will be implemented, so it will be interesting for other institutes and the budget cost is cheap. Moreover, OJK has an idea that there is deposit insurance agency for legal microfinancial institutes. Asian Economic Community AEC 2016 has become a big opportunity for Indonesia to expand business in foreign countries. However, Indonesian workers must have capability to be able to explore the AEC. This was stated by an economic observer of Bandung-based Pajajaran University, Purna Gunawan, in Bandung, West Java, to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, by phone.
Di MEA ini dua hal ya, tantangan dan juga peluang gitu ya. Karena dengan MEA ini kan artinya juga kita
there are two things in the Asian Economic Community AEC, namely challenge and opportunity, because we must be able to break through the AEC market in other countries. The challenge and opportunity have not been optimized now, and the AEC has not been explored by businessmen. It is also a challenge for Indonesian businessmen. On the other hand, Indonesian workers who have skills can explore it directly, but it takes time to implement the opportunity. Moreover, Purna Gunawan explained the certificate of manpower applied by the Indonesian government is expected to trigger the people and to optimistically compete with other Asian workers. That was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
A variety of important events that occurred this week are summarized in the week press review compiled from various newspapers published in Jakarta. Let's start from Kompas newspaper. In an editorial on Tuesday, the paper writes, "Message from the island of Komodo." Labuan Bajo's Komodo International Airport was inaugurated by President Joko Widodo on Monday, December the 28th. With the new airport in Labuan Bajo, the government wants to encourage the arrival of tourists to Komodo Island, an exotic place inhabited by ancient creatures in East Nusa Tenggara. Kompas wrote that Komodo Island is one of the 10 tourist destinations in Indonesia that will be massively developed by the government in 2016. The message from the island seems to get across with news on high tourist activity during the Christmas holidays. Incredible congestion on intercity toll roads proves that. The surge in tourism activities, according to Kompas, could be a matter of analysis. However, it cannot be denied it helps drive the local economy. According to the Daily, throughout the month of December, there were cash withdrawals amounting to 80 trillion rupiahs, which certainly has something to do with the tourism activities. Turning to Republika newspaper, in an editorial on Thursday, December the 31st, this daily writes, "Interpreting the New Year. Time countdown for all men is equal. There is no faster nor slower pace. The difference is how one would feel and use the time. Lucky are those who can take advantage of every second to carve out a good work for life. Conversely, those who always waste time is at a loss. There are so many expectations are usually embedded in the depths of the heart with the turn of the year. If all new hopes are collected, the red thread would look the same, namely the desire that the 2016 will be better than 2015. Just for a reflection. In 2015, Indonesia experienced a lot of ups and downs that gave many lessons for us all. Throughout the year, there were disasters, conflicts, political uproars, economic shock, and many others. There are many positive things encouraging the nation this year. Everything left a lesson so that the Indonesian people would act better towards oneself, others, nature, and the creator of the universe. According to this newspaper, praying in places of worship is a more civilized way to interpret the passage of time. Through this way, it could equally calculate one's shortcomings and weaknesses to be repaired in the next year. Similarly with the interpretation, Republika invites all Indonesian people to prepare themselves to undergo the 2016 with more beneficial to the universe, because the most noble purpose in life is to live a living which provides the widest possible benefit for this life itself. Well, Happy New Year 2016, said the paper. Okay, let's conclude press review with Media Indonesia newspaper, which on Tuesday, the 29th of December, writes New Spirit in Fighting Corruption. After 12 years, the Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK, finally has a new building. The 16-floor building is equipped with 50 prison cells for corruptors. The inauguration of the building by President Joko Widodo on Tuesday, December the 29th, was special since it was attended by Indonesia's third President B.J. Habibie and sixth President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono. President Joko Widodo and the former presidents are still expected to be a major supporter of corruption eradication in this country. Such support is necessary because corruption is never completely eradicated. The event was more special because the KPK building can be realized after obtaining public pressure. According to Media Indonesia, it is no exaggeration if the public now expects to have the orientation of corruption eradication is entirely for the sake of the people. Corruption is a crime against humanity because it deprives the people. It has hampered the embodiment of economic progress and social justice. The existence of a new building with sophisticated facility is expected to sustain a new spirit in the fight against corruption. According to Media Indonesia, the commission's success is not measured solely by how many suspects arrested for later investigation. It should also be seen from its ability to prevent corruption. Well, that was press review over Voice of Indonesia.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Ani Hasana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on January 9, 1960, when the Aswan Dam began to construct. Listener, the Aswan Dam is an embankment dam built across the Nile at Aswan, Egypt, between 1898 and 1902. Since the 1960s, the name commonly refers to the Aswan High Dam. Construction of the High Dam became a key objective of the Egyptian government following the Egyptian Revolution of 1952, as the ability to control floods, provide water for irrigation, and generate hydroelectricity were seen as pivotal to Egypt's industrialization. The High Dam was constructed between 1960 and 1970 and has had a significant effect on the economy and culture of Egypt. The next event was in 1995 when Mir held the record for the longest single human space flight with Valery Polyakov. Mir was a space station that operated in low Earth orbit from 1986 to 2001, owned by the Soviet Union and later by Russia. Mir was the first modular space station and was assembled in orbit from 1986 to 1996. It had a greater mass than any previous spacecraft. Until March 21, 2001, it was the largest artificial satellite in orbit, succeeded by the International Space Station after Mir's orbit decayed. The station served as a microgravity research laboratory in which crews conducted experiments in biology, human biology, physics, astronomy, meteorology, and spacecraft systems with the goal of developing technologies required for permanent occupation of space. Mir was the first continuously inhabited long-term research station in orbit and held the record for the longest continuous human presence in space at 3,644 days until October 23, 2010, when it was surpassed by the ISS. It holds the record for the longest single human space flight, with Valery Polyakov spending 437 days and 18 hours on the station between 1994 and 1995. Mir was occupied for a total of 12 and a half years out of its 15-year lifespan, having the capacity to support a resident crew of three or larger crews for short-term visits. And the last event was in 2005 when Mahmoud Abbas was elected as Palestinian president. Mahmoud Abbas is the president of the State of Palestine and Palestinian National Authority. He has been the chairman of the Palestine Liberation Organization PLO since November 11, 2004 and has been Palestinian president since January 15, 2005. Abbas is a member of the Fatah Party. Mahmoud Abbas was elected to serve until January 9, 2009, but due to Palestinian internal conflict, he unilaterally extended his term for another year and continued in office even half a decade after the second deadline expired. As a result, Fatah's main rival, Hamas, announced that it would not recognize the extension or view Abbas as rightful president. Abbas was chosen as the president of the Palestinian Authority by the Palestine Liberation Organization Central Council on November 23, 2008, a job he had held unofficially since May 8, 2005. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus. Daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. Today's focus is on cigarette consumption help increase poverty in Indonesia. Stay tuned. The Central Bureau of Statistics released poverty figures in Indonesia in September 2015. What's interesting about this data is that cigarettes become the largest commodity after rice consumed by the public, amounting to 8.08% in the urban areas and 7.68% in villages. In other words, the largest expenditure after rice, which is the Indonesian main staple food, is smoking. Head of the Central Bureau of Statistics, Suryamin, asserted cigarettes become one of the largest contributors that make some people remain below the poverty line. For Vice President Yusuf Kalla, this condition is quite alarming. Yusuf Kalla agreed with the release, which stated that smoking is a commodity that makes people poorer. According to the Vice President, if the cigarette price increase is not offset by the people spending, making them poorer. On the other hand, a member of the Commission 9 of the House of Representatives of the United Development Party, Oki Asokawati, argued poverty data from the Central Bureau of Statistics has confirmed the government negligence in terms of educating the nation. At least, the danger of smoking campaigns to date tend to be only a formality. Oki also noted the Indonesian government has not ratified the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control. In fact, ratification of the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control is an effort to protect current and future generations from the devastating impact of tobacco. The point is, the government campaign is less massive in reducing cigarette consumption in the community through concrete policies. Vice President Yusuf Kalla, however, claimed that in fact the government has taken a lot of policies to reduce the circulation of cigarettes, among others, by raising cigarette tax. Those efforts are in accordance with the policies of many other countries in restricting distribution of cigarettes. Yusuf Kalla called on the public not to rely on the government alone to suppress the circulation of cigarettes. Community health awareness should also be enhanced because smoking in Indonesia has become a habit. It is this habit that makes the tobacco industry thriving. In line with Vice President Oki Asokawati said, the idea of a mental revolution initiated by the government should be able to change the way people choose healthy behaviors physically and intelligently. For in the future, human resources must be able to compete, think innovatively, as being smart and clever is the real wealth of the nation. Oki also asked the government to make a breakthrough in poverty reduction because the problem of poverty and cigarettes will significantly affect the load of the BPJS health insurance demographic bonus in 2025 and the success of Indonesia to compete in the ASEAN economic community. Well, that was focused today on the cigarette consumption help increase poverty in Indonesia. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo promised in Jakarta on Friday that this year he will settle all cases connected to human rights violations that happened in Indonesia. Vice President Yusuf Kalla explained that the government has given explanation about the import rights from Pakistan and India. Vice Chairman of the People's Consultative Assembly, MPR, Usman Sabta, asked all parties to be alert of the interference of neighboring countries in the border area, including interventions of drug trafficking and drugs, as well as hazardous materials. Indonesia hopes its ease of doing business ranking would be in the double digits in 2016. The Transportation Ministry has assigned the management of 52 ships on pioneering routes to state-owned ship operator PT Pelayaran Nasional Indonesia Pelni to support the distribution of goods and people in the country's remote areas. Financial Supervisory Authority OJK encouraged Micro Financial Institute to be legal entity supervised legally. Listener, that was News in Brief of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Giliyang Island, Madura, East Java. Stay tuned. Listeners, Giliyang Island, or also called Gili, is located at Ban Camara Village, Dungkek Sub-District, Sumenep, Madura, East Java. This island is 9.15 km wide and is divided into two villages, namely Banras and Ban Camara Village. Uniquely, almost 50% of the people is elderly. Even there are villagers who are 125 years old and 100 years old, and incredibly, despite their old age, they still look fresh and nimble. Head of Health Office of Sumat Regency, Dr. Fatoni, said that in addition to having healthy life, it is also because of the clean air. Thank you. listeners, research conducted by a team of Utilization Center for Atmospheric and Climate of Science Space Agency at the end of July 2006 indicated that Giliyang Island is the only island which has the best concentration of oxygen in the world, namely 20.9%. Even the Engineering Data Center for Environmental Health and Disease Control of Surabaya in 2013 mentions that Giliyang Island has the second highest pure oxygen in the world after Bosnia, so that this area becomes health tourism area. Besides that, this island has a nickname Elderly Island because majority of this island's population are over 25 years old. Listeners, if you visit Madura in East Java, please set your time to visit Giliyang Island. To access this island from Sumenep, it can be through land transportation to Dungkeksi Port. The distance from Sumenep City to Dungkek is around 35 km and it takes around 60 minutes. From Dungkek, you can continue by crossing the sea by using motorboat. Listeners, on Giliyang Island, besides enjoying the fresh air, you can also enjoy the beauty of its nature. And the beauty of the undersea is suitable for you who love diving and snorkeling. Even in 2011, a number of national divers from Surabaya surveyed the sea of the island and found four locations of coral reefs which are rich with various kinds of ornamental fish. In the east of Giliyang Island, there is cliff. Local people call it Kundang Stone. This place is suitable for fishing. Besides that, not far from the location, there are 10 air caves, most of which have stalactites and stalagmites. Listeners, if you want to get fresh water, you can get from Banras village, because at this village, the water is clean and fresh. If you look for drinking water, you can find it at Banras village, because in almost all corners of this village, there are stalls which sell mineral water, complete with typical food of this region, such as rujak lontong and corn rice. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition will be discussing the history of keris, so stay tuned. Keris is a kind of dagger with many cultural functions known in the western and central parts of Indonesia. Its distinctive shape is easily be seen from other sharp weapons because it is not symmetrical at the widened base, the blade often winding, and many of them have certain pamor or visible metal layers. The origin of kris has not been fully explained because there is no written source about it before the 15th century, although the term kris has been listed on the inscription of the 9th century AD. Scientific study of kris development is mostly based on the analysis of figures in the ancient temple's relief or statues. Meanwhile, knowledge about the function of a kris can be traced from several inscriptions and foreign explorers' reports on the Indonesian archipelago. The sharp weapon with a form that is thought to be a source of inspiration of kris can be found in the relics of the cultural Dongson and southern China. Suspected for having ancient Chinese cultural influence, the weapon, as the forerunner of the kris, possibly entered through Dongson culture, Vietnam as a bridge for the influence of Chinese culture to the archipelago. Some kris of today are used for traditional rituals. They have human-shaped handles just like a Dongson dagger. Sculptures on megalithic statues and reliefs of the megalithic period to the 10th until 11th century AD, displaying many forms of sharp weapons and other wesi aji or weapons that is similar to other weapons of Dongson and India. Kris during the ancient kingdoms in Java was the standard weapon of soldiers and symbol of authority for the nobles. During Majapahit kingdom, kris was worn by all men in everyday life. At present, it has diverse function, and this is shown by the diversity of existing forms. Well, that was Miss Eleni over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Mariati, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In addition to shortwave 9525 kHz, you can also listen to this program through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id or through RRI Play and RRI World Service mobile applications on your smartphones. In today's edition, I will introduce you to an Indonesian band, Mirah Delima. Pop music is always well received by the people because of its easy listening tones. It is one of the reasons why Mirah Delima was established. Before we discuss the band further, let's listen to their hit song entitled Cinta Sayangku or Love My Beloved, which is taken from their album with the same title. Enjoy the song.
Saling berpalingkan muka
VOA listeners, you have just listened to a song entitled Cinta Sayangku from Merah Delima Band. Merah Delima Band tried to get lucky in the music industry through its first single entitled Only You with upbeat music and natural lyric. The song tells about love on the first sight, general theme which always happens in society. Many people have fallen in love, and this moment was taken by Merah Delima in order to be received by Indonesian music lovers. This band is from Bogor, West Java, and consists of Willy, the vocalist, Wendy, the drummer, and Syahdi, the guitarist. Listeners, let's listen to the second song from Merah Delima entitled Cinta Suci. Enjoy the song.
Tak ada yang bisa menggantikan diri.
VOA listeners, that was a song entitled Cinta Suci sung by Mirah Delima Band. According to the vocalist of Mirah Delima, Willie, they play easy listening music and lyric, which is not far from a daily life. Well, listeners, to conclude Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last song from Mirah Delima Band entitled Cinta or Love and Jangan Berharap or Don't Expect. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Kau yang membuat ku terlalu di dalam pelukan cinta sucimu. Andai ku bisa jadikan cintaku untukmu selalu abadi selamanya. Cinta, mohon maafkan aku bila itu memang semua salahku. Cinta, jadikan cintaku untukmu selalu abadi selamanya. Cinta, mohon maafkan aku bila itu memang semua salahku. Cinta,
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hanya kamu yang bisa untuk tunjukkan rasa cintaku, haruskah aku menangis, haruskah aku bersedih di hadapmu, untuk tunjukkan aku sayang padamu. Oh, 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 oh. Haruskah aku berlutut, haruskah
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157 Jakarta 10011 Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VOI Indonesia.